from Lubbock Community Theater. This is Five Till Places.
Thank you, Five.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of LCT's Five Till Places. I am Jed, and I am here with many of the cast and crew and a couple of the adults involved with our upcoming production from LCT's Stages Academy, which is The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And you get documenting for
that. I'm sorry. Right?
There's no, nice that's pictures totally now.
Social media.
That's great. Yeah, no, it's behind the scenes content. It's good.
Yeah, it works.
Yeah. So we'll start arbitrarily here on my right and go around the table. Everyone can introduce yourself and tell us what you are doing in the show, whether you're playing a part, working backstage, whatever it is that you're doing.
Hi, I'm Sam Mankowski, the world's ultimate geek, and I honestly genuinely just have no idea what I'm doing here or how I got here, so...
That's most of us, though. It's okay. That feeling doesn't go away.
I am DK, and I am the director.
I'm Abby. I'm the fight director.
I'm Lexus, and I play the White Witch.
I'm James, and I play Edmund, and I get to eat Turkish Delight.
Get to or have to?
Have to, I guess.
Yeah, it's all good.
Question.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. It's
I'm Sophie, and I'm prop master.
I'm Jared, and I'm playing Peter.
I'm Melody, and I'm on crew. I don't know what I'm doing, because I'm doing 100 things at once.
I'm Cadence, and I'm playing Lucy.
I'm Faith, and I'm playing Susan.
Excellent. We've got most of the family in here right now.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah.
That is all of them.
Just missing the cat.
So, going into this story, were any of you already familiar with it? Had anyone read it or seen the movie?
Oh, I've seen the movie.
I have read the book and watched the movie that everyone is familiar with in the original 1988.
Yes.
A man of culture.
Yes. 5 minutes of
very good, very good.
That witch was real creepy.
That's the one I originally saw.
She is. So, what is it that drew you to this story? I mean, it seems a lot of you were familiar with it, so I guess you had some enjoyment with it. But what is it that brought you out to audition or apply for a crew spot or whatever it was that got you involved with the show?
I really just wanted to be in a show with LCT and kind of figure out what it was.
Yeah,
because this is my first show with...
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah, I just started theater a year ago, and so we were just, looking for different opportunities. My mom saw this on Facebook, so we just did that. But
Facebook! Yeah. Facebook, yay!
Reaching people!
But even since I was little, this might sound weird, but I've always felt like Lucy.
Aww.
Oh, you related to her? Yeah. That's not weird. I relate to a bunch of characters from all sorts of media. It's not weird, hon.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Sure. I was in Mary Poppins here, and it was somewhere that you were, that DK was directing it, and I was like, oh my gosh, I love DK. Yeah. I want to watch the wardrobe.
That's exactly what I did. Yeah. I was like, oh, DK's directing this? I want to be in this.
Let's follow DK.
That's part of the reason why I did this. I'm like, I love DK. She is awesome. I want to do this. I don't care anymore.
Yo, we made DK cry.
Oh my gosh, DK's crying.
I go home with her.
Hey, it's
come
okay.
On.
Oh, are you
I go
okay?
home with her.
I think everyone's all like, everyone else is like, well, I saw DK was directing. And I wanted to be a part of it. And then Lexus is like, well, I wanted to be a part of it in spite of the fact.
I'm stuck.
In my defense, I live with her. But, I mainly came out for this because, I love the White Witch. She's absolutely
She's
amazing.
Scary.
She is scary, and I can channel just that. I play good at villains. That's what I do.
Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins, yes. I played the villain.
Yeah.
You've played the villain in several things, haven't you? This and Mary Poppins.
No, actually, Mary Poppins was the first one I actually had an actual role.
But you've discovered a new calling.
Yes, I have.
The baddies are fun to play. So can I tell you guys a story about me and Narnia? I think I told some of you guys this, but when I was 11 and started doing theater in Kansas City, like basically full-time, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe was the first show I was in. And that was the first time I ever saw stage combat being done. And I was like, that is the coolest thing ever, when I was 11 and playing a little dryad. And I got to help people who got wounded get off stage. But I was like, man, I really want to punch someone so bad. And now I'm here. So it's really cool to like get to fight direct you guys when this is a show that's really special to me.
Hence the reason why everybody is in the battle versus not.
Right.
All 40-some of...
All 44 children.
44.
Jeez, 44? That's a lot.
Yeah. I used Lego minifigures to block it.
Yeah, and I was a random guy. I don't know who I was.
Everybody, I have a spreadsheet that has everybody...
The children would really like to know who they are.
Okay,
so
I'll bring the spreadsheet. I know that Mr. and Mrs. Beaver were like Green Goblin and Venom.
Oh, you posted that.
Yeah, I'll bring the spreadsheet for opening night, and I'll let everybody know what you were. But because I can't remember off the top of my head, I know that Lucy was like a mini version of me. Because I have a mini version of me, and then I think Peter was my husband's Ben. So I don't know. It just is what it is. I have like a bunch. We're big nerds in our house, so we have lots and lots of Legos. So there were many, many Legos.
That checks.
I like towards the end of the cast list, though. I was like, these are some wild ones that are happening right now. But it's fun. Yeah.
So this is like having that many kids in the cast has got to make doing that final battle sequence pretty interesting, because
it was
a lot of there's a giant epic battle at the end of this story,
which kind of part of the reason why we went to the number that we did, because it would be, I don't know, if for myself I could not envision a army
of 5 in the cast or something.
Like that wouldn't read well. So this does read really well.
Well,
it
and
was
I
tricky
like,
and challenging, but
I don't doubt it.
Oh yeah. So like I cheat a little bit as a fight director, because I go and I look at like YouTube and see what other people have done, just to like see and like how did other people make this work. And one version that I saw, they made it a dance battle, and I was like, this is
what?
So lame.
Why would you do that?
So
like, come on, man.
And it's what's been really cool watching all of you guys work. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, not the flossing.
Gritty. I'm cringing just at hearing that word.
So
hit the gritty.
Oh my gosh.
Shut up.
If you're old, you can come out and hit that whip.
Yes.
Oh gosh.
Flossing
whip.
Yeah.
No.
Alright. Here. I'm gonna gas you guys up a little bit. Okay. Yeah. So what's been really cool of watching everybody is that I know that like some of y'all do karate and like other different martial arts and stuff, and some of y'all are dancers. So what's been really cool is seeing you guys use those skills, translating it into stage combat. And I'm pretty sure, I don't think there's anybody in the cast who's ever done like this level of stage combat before. So everybody has risen to the occasion. It's been super, super cool to see everybody do all the things.
I did do this when I went to like a behind the scenes camp one time. And they taught us a bunch of stunts, and they had like ropes, and they had us like fly and stuff.
So you got to do wire work.
That sounds interesting.
I wish, not like cheating. I don't think it's cheating necessarily. To go watch different versions of the way that people put them on and get ideas and things like that, especially for like the stone table. I was really kind of stumped. There was one, they did wire work, and like Aslan just like appeared from the sky.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was like,
that's weird.
It was not.
He's
I'm
not
like,
a bird.
No,
he
appeared.
Not.
I mean, I could see them using it for him to like maybe jump over something. No, he flew.
That's
yeah. That's Angel Aslan. Honestly, though, that would be incredibly unexpected and hilarious at the same time. So, I mean.
You're taking the Jesus metaphor very seriously.
Yeah, it's going really fast. Well,
it was like their final battle too was like the Matrix. So like the witch was like flying back.
Whoa.
Oh yeah.
Like, he was like pouncing towards her. It was not my cup of tea.
It was something.
Yeah. Well, yes. And what's been fun, we have like 6 waves of the battle. And so everybody gets to have a part where they're featured. And it's been really cool to just see the character choices that you guys are making, because we just finally got it all put together like, what, 4 days ago? It got all glued together.
Yeah.
All the Lego pieces came together.
Today it just finally started making sense.
And today it made sense and it was awesome. And like the music being added to it like made you guys even better, and it's just going to keep going up and up. And
It did.
Ooh. It's super fun.
Yeah, it feels weird without the music though. Like whenever we just do Bite Call and there's like no music, it just feels completely weird. But like as soon as the music hits, it's like, oh, okay, it's easy to get into character.
Yeah.
It's like, really simple.
Yeah, when me and Lexis are doing our little fight scene, when we're doing just practicing it, we barely get the moves right. But when the music's playing, we ran up there and we just hit every point.
Yeah,
that's as hard as we could.
Yeah.
The reason is your mind has started associating it with the music, so the only time you can do it properly is with the music. Let's just say I've had experience with stuff like that. It is interesting when you've been chewing gum while doing stuff, and then suddenly you can't do it without chewing gum.
Yeah.
Man, now I gotta try that. It will help me be better at writing.
So that in and of itself is a selling point for this show, I feel like. Because I don't feel like we've done any... We certainly couldn't do anything like that at our previous home before we moved into this building in that tiny space, but...
Well, and it's not just the final battle. There's,
there's multiple.
Jared gets to do a cool fight with Sierra. There's, I think...
A small battle and a major battle?
Yeah. There's a lot. And I think, honestly, one of my favorite moments in this show is with one of the cast members who is as tall as me whenever I'm on my knees. And granted, I'm not a very tall person.
Oh.
But when she, like... like makes James go to the floor with a hair pull.
Uh-huh.
I think it is the coolest thing.
Sydney's so cute and sassy at the same time.
And she's like, just adorable. She's like so mean when she does it, but then after Fight Call, she's like, I did it, and she's so happy about it.
So cute.
My favorite thing was when Abby first taught her. She was like, I don't think I can do this, and we're like, no, you can do this.
And
you,
now
you
she's just like a pro.
Well, and as soon as she did it and she walked off, she's like, Miss DK, that was fun. Can I pull somebody else's?
I love that maybe we can
make that work.
Love it And I'm sorry guys, my favorite person in the final battle is Juliet with her sword. With her sword that is as big as her.
Neil can't, I mean he can't
Mr. Tumnus carrying it off.
Neil is such a wee lad.
Well, Mr. Tumnus, okay, here's the thing. Neil is giving a masterclass in endowment during that scene, because that sword, it's a light prop, but he's like acting like it's so heavy, and I'm like,
so good.
There are some people at Texas Tech in the theater program that could learn from Neil. And
Neil is good.
He's amazing.
A star.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Yes.
For sure.
Meant for the stage.
Yes.
Absolutely.
But hey, I want to, Miss DK, what made you want to direct this show?
Yeah. I know we've talked about this a little personally, but now for everybody.
Personal question.
Well, first things first, I am the outreach coordinator and the education coordinator here at LCT, so I like to direct at least one production, and I try to go for the one that all the kids are in, the blended one. So that's one big production with everybody. I'm a big believer of go big or go home. But this one, necessarily, Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, I remember reading in my 5th grade class with my teacher. So we kind of started it, and I remember my mom kind of talking about it, but she also talked about Old Yeller, and Old Yeller was kind of really sad, and I didn't really care for that. So I was like, this is going to not be fun, because my mom likes it. We started reading it, and it was the first book that I remember coming to life for me. Mm-hmm. Being able to close my eyes and imagine the things that were, I could see the lamppost, I could feel the cold, I could do all the things. So it was the first thing that actually really brought me in as a reader. And I just kind of continued on from there. Wasn't long after that that I'm probably going to age myself, that the Harry Potter books started coming out.
Oh, girl.
Well, it's all right. I was a grown adult when they started coming out. So it was,
I was like,
I'll age myself.
Fourth or fifth grade, I think, when they first started coming out. So then we started diving into those, and that just opened up another world. Samuel, my man, props to you. I tried to read Lord of the Rings, and I tried to read The Hobbit, but those are some hard reads.
I've read those like five times each, probably. What? Like 3 years.
Kudos to you. They are hard reads.
I started The Hobbit, and it has a slow start.
It does. I think what most people don't realize about The Hobbit it's actually a satire about like epic fantasy novels. Lord of the Rings isn't, but The Hobbit, the main character in the final battle gets knocked out in the first like 5 seconds, and he wakes up after it's done.
And honestly, it's great.
And that book was basically adapted from fairy tales he was making up as he went along to tell his kid.
Yeah. And awesome.
I have a book about him.
Those,
the guy who wrote The Hobbit.
J.R.R. Tolkien and C.S. Lewis were actually friends.
They were like besties.
They were in a. I've done a lot of research. I do the education of tour.
Yeah, I believe. Those two and a couple of other friends hung out at a club, or pub, and they. They shared their stories or something.
Yeah, yeah. And both of them, like, I do the education papers here, so I research and do all the information and then send it out to teachers and things. And they were such good friends. That is why their stories, they don't resemble each other so much, but the way that they came up with the worlds of Narnia and Middle-earth are very similar because they both thought the exact same way. They couldn't just write a story. They had to come up with all of the surroundings that went with it. Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Entire languages for
exactly. The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Which I know, by the way.
The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe actually came from C.S. Lewis. He had a vision in his head of a fawn with an umbrella. So it all started with Tumnus in the snow. That was his vision, and he was like, well, let's see where we go with this. And he was actually somebody who took in, which we don't get to really cover in the play because it's only a minute and a half. Or no, an hour and a half, not a minute and a half. An hour and a half.
The final battle is a bit longer than that.
Yes, but the children come in because of the war that is going on, and C.S. Lewis actually wrote that based on him. He was taking in children, and he was trying to come up with things to tell them, and this was the story that he kind of started. So really, it started with Tumnus, and then it went into the fact that what C.S. Lewis had started, and how him taking in children during the war and keeping them safe and telling them stories so they weren't scared because their whole lives had been uprooted, is where the whole thing came about.
Actually, J.R.R. Tolkien wrote The Hobbit while fighting in the First World War.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he wrote the letters to one of his kids, and then he wrote Lord of the Rings to his other kid, Christopher Tolkien. And he was just like basically the king of Lord of the Rings after J.R.R. Tolkien died.
Yeah.
He recently died, but imagine he was just like, no, I never actually read the book. I just watched some movies.
I am sure that's not what happened, but man, that would be funny.
Yeah.
We're a bunch of nerds around here, but not only...
That's what draws all of us to these stories, though.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah. That. Yeah.
Not only do we have 44 children in the cast, we also have, I believe, up to 20 kids in the crew. So we have children showing up every night working on props and helping with costumes. They're learning to pin costumes, and it's just been really cool. I think so. We should have close to 60 kids being involved in this production, which really kind of helps that vision of children doing children's theater. Not so much adults putting it on for children or even directing. We have junior directors, we have junior stage managers. Our prop master is under 18. We've got, like, it's just really cool watching everybody come together, and the adults that are volunteering to do this and help with this and guide it has been amazing watching this come together. I was really nervous about it, and there's parts of me that still are. But it's coming together, and it's looking great.
Say, you're going to be nervous about every show you ever do, I feel like. You've got to be a little nervous about
this.
It.
One is just in a bigger grand scheme, because there's so many.
I just say that it's been a really fun and crazy experience.
Very crazy.
Organized chaos.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes chaos, and then sometimes it's super fun, sometimes it's... It's been a roller coaster.
The thing is, you just don't ever get bored. There's always something happening.
Yeah.
There's always one more thing for me to paint.
Yeah. One more thing to sew.
We sewed like painting this going. And then like one more line to say.
One more horn to make. Like, it's just it's been an awesome experience just to watch all the kids come together and work as a team, not just build their own character. Even our ensemble, we have a huge ensemble, and sometimes being ensemble can have a negative tone to that, and I tried really, really hard to make that not a thing. They built their own characters, they made their own origin stories, they got to pick their costumes, they got to do like the whole nine yards. They took their from scratch and said, I want to be this, and then they went with it.
They got to pick their names.
They got to pick their names. We have a goose named Beakley. We have a wraith named Ibius. They went from some of the kids being very, very just matter of fact, like a duck named Beakley, to Formius the fawn, or something along those lines. Some of the names I can't even pronounce, but they got so deep into it and looking up the meanings of the names and what they meant and why they were that. It was really cool to watch them all come together. So
what has prop mastering this show been like? That's got to be pretty busy all the time, too.
Clay. A lot of clay.
Yeah.
Sculpting a lot of stuff?
We've been sculpting, like he said, painting and fixing things because things keep cracking and stuff.
Yeah. I bet.
They're making weapons.
Yeah.
They've made arrows.
We're making golden eggs for
how
goose.
How many of those
do we
handle tonight? I mean, come on.
Oh, the golden eggs.
Yeah.
So you can throw them.
Didn't yes. we sew like?
Yeah, that was
funny.
That was a
spoiler alert.
That was a new one for me. Someone mm-hmm. telling me that, like, yeah, my weapon's gonna be golden eggs. I'm like, yeah, okay.
Right. We have wood nymphs. They come in and they have their magical power. So they've got these beautiful mm-hmm. dancing fans that they're soaring around to be their magic. And
yeah, I'm a huge Avatar The Last Airbender fan. So
oh,
like
that
definitely influenced what they're doing. And it's so cool to be like, oh yeah, they're fighting with water and fire. Nerds, Jed.
No, I was going to ask other questions. Like, I was going to go off on an Avatar tangent. I realized that would...
You just got to come see it, and you'll understand. You'll be like, oh, okay.
Oh, got it.
Now, we have both of our cats have... our cats are Toph and Sokka.
Oh.
And so every time we go to take them to the vet, there's two people, someone at the desk will be like, Toph? Top what? But then some other tech will come in. All right, Team Avatar, it's your turn.
Ah, yes. Some people get it.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
So this sounds all around like a pretty this may be the most epic thing we've done in this building.
It's been an adventure.
Since
so fun. I mean, y'all's fight call takes up way more time than the grown-ups did for Play That Goes Wrong.
There were also like eight people.
Well, there were eight people, but
Play That Goes Wrong is a stunt show.
That's all they did.
For sure.
And
it's nonstop stunts from start to finish.
No, these guys, I mean, like, my fighters for Play That Goes Wrong, we were like, they were pretty good, but I don't know. People for Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe...
London yep. is such a good fighter.
Yeah, London, like London right and there. Levi have a really cool one.
Yes,
I'll absolutely.
Yeah.
I was interested to ask you about the differences of choreographing for and fight directing for groups of youth of various ages, or and then groups of adults. Like how
kids are way more fun.
Yeah,
I believe it. No,
well, because
yeah, kids are more open to
doing cool stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Like sometimes I have to like drag it out of adults, but like y'all are just like ready to go. You're like, oh, I'm gonna do this. I'm like, yes, absolutely, let's do it. Sometimes I have to like pull you back because you'll be like. James will be like, can I like roll and do a backflip or whatever?
Yes!
And I'll be like, no,
yes,
please no, please stop. Plant your feet, bud.
Yeah, you were like, thank you for standing still.
I did tell you thank you for standing still. It was great.
Oh, goodness.
Although I will say, they get to do all the fun things with Abby, so DK has the boring blocking. Oh, and so everybody's like, it takes forever, and it's a lot of stop and go, and everybody's just like,
yeah.
And I'm like, I know.
I'll tell you
I'm
what,
the
fight stuff took forever, too. It's just that y'all had, like, axes and hammers and stuff with that one.
And I've never seen a bunch of children ready to, I don't know, murder.
Oh yeah!
Yeah,
I hate violence.
There were like
that's normal for children.
When we were blocking the full battle, I was like, I think I've said a few out of pocket things right now, being like, yeah, when your brother's dead and bleeding out on the floor, you
yes.
gotta be sad
yes.
about it.
Oh,
and,
yeah,
no, well, and like sweet Lexis, I told her I was like, Lexis, I only shout at children I think are really cool, and Lexis was like, oh my gosh, I'm like really mean, and I was like, have you read the script?
Well, I mean, I'm supposed to run over to
Edmund after the thing, after I do my fight. I don't know what I'm doing.
Oh, I'll help
you're
you.
Sitting there looking at my
brother. Oh my god. Out, just like, oh!
It's fine, it's fine. Explaining to young children what happens when you get stabbed is, fun, and I'm so sorry.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, like, you're right. It's an educational experience.
Yeah,
I guess.
I'm just like across the stage. Edmund's dying. I'm just holding villains. Like,
I promise you, parents,
like,
please.
Yeah, just like you're just chilling. Just like my brother's dead. There's a bunch of crazy nonsense happening.
I'll just let these people.
Parents,
here.
Yeah. I promise you, I'm just here to make your kids look cool.
We are not a crazy cult.
No
or
murder
anything.
Condoning over here.
No, everything's fine.
We do not
condone
murder here.
No, because. Literally, whenever you first gave me, like, my choreography with James and them, it was just, like, I literally, the first thing that went to my mind was, why am I so brutal? And then I'm like, hold on, I'm the villain, I have to be.
Yeah.
But every time we do it, I'm like, holy cow, what the heck?
Well, and why? I tell you what, being the baddie, that's, like, that makes it way more fun to fight, because you,
that's
like,
fair.
Don't care that you're tearing people up.
It
is
why
great.
Is it always like, the children's
you're just like,
stories that have
you're
the
just
most
like,
evil villains?
Hashtag baddie.
Oh my gosh, y'all.
Well, particularly British children's stories.
Yes,
lots of European.
European.
Okay, that checks because
think,
of the fairy tales, but, like,
yeah,
still.
Yeah. Kids are more resilient than I think a lot of times adults give them credit for. And there's obviously, you know, depending on the kid in question, there's, you know, different lines on what they're ready for at this age and that age and what they can handle and things like that. But I find, like, I've read this, I've experienced it in my own childhood, I've seen it in my kids and their friends, kids here, that kids sometimes can be drawn to that kind of that we kind of label as, you know, maybe darkness or something, that they are naturally drawn to it.
You're like, I want to have a sword.
Yeah.
I'm going to swing it. I think
I wonder why this is bad and this is awful and you shouldn't watch things like this and you shouldn't like things like this.
I don't know.
Like that
we get to tell.
It makes them drawn.
I think what's really cool and here's putting a nice bow on it, and it justifies the violence, is that you guys are getting to show through violence, and this is what my master's thesis is about, is the idea that any piece of media that we watch has some kind of conflict in it. And conflict is inherently violent, whether it's a physical thing, it's an emotional thing, spiritual, like what have you. It is something that's happening. That is a violent thing. So you guys get to do it very literally of seeing this struggle between good and evil, and in the end, spoiler alert, the good guys win.
Right.
but it's cool to see that you guys, all under the age of 18, get to tackle material like this and do it right. with flying colors. And it's just, it's really cool to get to watch you guys. Like, I'm at the point where I'm like, I'm giving really picky notes now, where I'm like, hey, when you're fighting, like, let's do this kind of noise instead of this kind of noise and all that. And it's so much fun to be able to be picky with you guys.
Yeah. I don't know. I think kids are just whack, so.
I think we're all crazy until our brains are fully mature and then we're like, okay, no more crazy.
Well, no. It's a different kind of crazy.
It's a different kind of crazy at that point.
It's crazy with taxes.
I was, yeah, I was going to say, when you're young, you're not quite fully baked. Person yet you're still figuring out a lot of stuff, so there's a lot
so when you get older you're just a fully baked crazy person,
right? That explains a lot, honestly.
I think this kind of material does help with that, because like you were talking about the kids tackling these themes and subject matter that are presented in this story through both the violence and just everything else. Part of the reason that we like that kind of media, whether it is stories like this or horror stories or whatever else, is because they touch something in us and they help us process things that are in us or things that we're trying to face. And kids have to have the opportunity to do that too, to some degree or another, you know?
Well, and what's really, I know that, again, there's some kids that do martial arts. I do kickboxing. There's a difference between sparring somebody and then like doing stage combat, because see if y'all can make me look good. What's the most important rule to remember about stage combat? What comes first?
Safety.
Thank
safety.
You.
Oh, thank goodness.
Okay. So that's something that we've been drilling a lot since I came into the process of the fact that, like, this is not real. Yeah. This is something that we are making sure that our partners are safe and that we are safe.
We're not actually fighting each other.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
We're just beating each other up. We're just like...
Like the ways that I have you guys fight... don't get in an actual fight with those methods, because stage fighting's not going to help you.
Where martial arts comes in.
It's not all the time realistic, but it makes it funny because Juliet has this huge sword,
yes.
And she's held by a little scarf.
Oh my gosh, yes.
She's easily
held.
You don't need logic with this stuff.
It's fighting, who cares?
We're in Narnia. It's a
thank
magic
you.
Scarf.
It's very fighting, much but aesthetically, I love
yeah,
that.
Exactly.
But it's been super gratifying as a teacher, educator, fight director, seeing people who, like, as young as 7. Are able to understand, like, oh, I have to be safe when I do this. Y'all run fight calls like pros. Super, super awesome. I'm sure Miss Dika is super happy about it, too.
It's also crazy how, like, a couple weeks ago, we didn't really know any of this stuff, and now we're, like, pros.
Yeah.
Well, I will say, I still get it completely mixed up. Like, every time me and Jared do our fight, I'm always like,
don't bring that dagger on stage, girl.
Oh my gosh, I know.
You're always tossing it. I always have that dagger.
And I can't get rid of it.
Here, Edmund, here's the weapon you need to stab me with.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, you always toss it towards me, and I'm just like, I already have one. Do I get two?
I keep on forgetting that. It feels so natural,
like,
especially starting the first fight. You have it,
like,
and you have two of them. Yeah. And then as soon as you go into the second fight, you're like, oh, wait, I'm not supposed to have this.
Just imagine that you, like, it got stuck in someone, and you're like, wow, well.
Well, I'll just leave it.
There's your character motivation. This is the kind of things I tell children. Please keep hiring me.
I'd hire you any day.
Don't worry. It's all fine.
It's all fine.
Yeah,
it's all fine.
It's all
fake.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and there's a huge difference between, you know, combat in the Chronicle of Narnia and, you know, a slasher movie or something.
Yeah.
It's not the same thing.
This is fantastical. Yeah. Slashers is gruesome.
No, this stuff is cool.
It's also
fantastical, it's got sparkles.
But in a different way.
It's got sparkles.
But yeah.
It's magical fighting, not realistic fighting.
Yeah, it's fine.
there are themes and points to this. It's not just violence for the sake of being gruesome.
Yeah.
All right, so Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe opened, we had to add an extra date.
Because you guys just keep selling tickets.
Yeah.
Great. And, like, sorry.
So shame on us.
Yeah, shame on us.
Selling tickets at such a high rate, we had to add an extra date. And within a few hours of putting that link up, that one was selling at the rate that the other three dates were.
Wow. So it's
like, really like C.S. Lewis.
When you add a performance, you have a certain percentage that your tickets are at. And when you add a performance, it's going to drop that percentage. We added the performance, and by that evening, our percentage was back up. I think it was over what it was initially when we added the performance in.
Mm-hmm. Which is over 50% sold. So
yeah, oh, yeah. I think we are sitting
70, wasn't it?
Yeah, we're sitting close to 70 each.
Yeah.
The Friday, Saturday, Sunday have sold over 100 tickets apiece.
Wow.
So those are almost done. There is still opportunity for that Thursday. So if you're going to get tickets, you need to do it now.
This is January 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st. The 21st is going to be a 2:30 matinee. The other three nights are 7:30 p.m. But as DK was just pointing out, you need to get your tickets now. Do not count on there being, maybe there will be some left on day of show, but this rate, I would not expect it. Don't rely on that.
Nope.
So, yeah, tickets now at lubbockcommunitytheater.org. Yes.
great advertising.
Great transition.
I can go into. I'm a little scratchy right now. I can't quite go into my full advertiser voice, but
it works.
I've got one. It's pretty good. So. Before we sign off, is there anything else anyone wants to add real quick or any just experiences you want to share?
Watch the show because it is amazing.
So, Miss Abby, going back to on your safety and the story you told at the beginning,
It's just the demons. Ghost. Don't worry about it.
Yes, I love them.
Look, it is tradition. It is a known thing that every theater is haunted. So
yeah.
I'm scared now. Like
haunted by the mannequins.
You're good.
What's the worst is when I show up. When I'm like, you show up early in the morning, or I'm working late at night, and I'm like shutting the building down, and I'm turning out the lights on there.
It keeps turning on. That is so horrifying.
Oh,
this place
anyway,
is haunted for sure.
So, I'm trying to say something.
So, during our first rehearsal, we worked with you. You told the story of your first thing with fight choreography.
Oh.
Being.
I'm scared.
This is my first.
What if thing the doors ever, were like gonna
having
lock
ever
on.
Experienced fight choreography.
Aww.
And you also said the story to where you were doing it and your fight director hit you with the sword.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And something I find is funny. It was kind of, I didn't stand far enough back. First day I worked with you, you hit me with the sword.
Yeah.
Keeping the tradition.
Yeah,
alive.
I was a bad fight director. To be fair, the sword that I got hit with when I was 11 years old was metal and it hit me in the face.
Oh.
You got hit in the arm.
So, Jared, you're gonna.
I was a bad fight director. It was not Jared's fault. Oh, but yes, that
he's
is very funny.
Jared
you,
fight director.
You didn't hit any of the grown-ups, and it shows that I've seen fight directors.
It's just
so
the
are
kids.
You? Do you just hate the kids?
No, the grown-ups don't work hard enough.
I think she needs to go to jail or something.
No.
The thing is, the grown-ups are already grown up, so there's no point in hitting them. Like us children.
You can't change them anymore once you hit a certain age.
All right, we will note that it is the kids bringing the rough chuckles into tonight.
There is nothing I can say that will save me. So I'm gonna...
So yes, I hit your kid with a sword.
Yeah.
Accident, guys.
Sorry,
yes.
Mrs.
Wonderful.
Jared's mom.
Sorry for when I assaulted your child a little bit.
But no, we're gonna get arrested.
On that note.
Yeah, we're gonna get canceled. Like,
oh,
okay.
Oh, Lord.
But he's fine. He's fine.
He's fine. He's perfectly fine.
He's laughing right now. He's
Even
fine.
Even though he hit me with the sword, this has been a great experience.
Oh, thank God.
I mean, he was conscious again within like 40 minutes. So
okay. Let's be quiet.
And we love you.
Be quiet.
Nice to us.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is our artist in residence this year. We brought her in to teach fight choreography and hitting kids.
Please hire me.
I hire you any day.
Accident. That's going to be the little sound bit that you use to advertise.
Right.
Can we cut this out?
No.
Oh, no,
no, don't come this.
All right, so I, again, we will say January 18th through the 21st. Tickets are going very fast, so get them now. LubbockCommunityTheater.org. Yes.
Where can you listen to this podcast?
Why, you can listen to this podcast at pretty much anywhere where you get podcasts. It's on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher. And
Amazon Music.
We're famous.
What? Amazon Music.
Yes. It's on Amazon. It's pretty much anywhere where you, whatever your chosen place to get podcasts, we're probably there. And if we aren't, let us know and we can fix that for you. So go to wherever it is that you... I mean, if you're already listening to this, you probably already found it.
Yeah. I'm new. Yeah, I needed to know
that.
Search,
from a friend. Go to wherever you get podcasts and search LCT's Five Till Places, and you'll should find it. If you don't, let us know. We can get it there. But so, until next time, thank you everyone for joining me. Thank you all for being here. I'd say thank you to my co-hosts, but none of them are here.
Lame.
So. And Heather's got like a play to rehearse or some dumb thing like that.
Whatever.
No. But on that note, this has been Five Till Places.
Thank
you,
Five. Abby's just getting roasted today.
I know.
Hey.
Five Till Places is a production of Lubbock Community Theater. Be sure to follow us on social media for all the latest news and updates surrounding our projects and the goings-on at LCT. Our theme music is Pizza and Video Games by Bonus Points. A link to that artist and their music can be found in the show notes. Look them up, give them some support. Thanks for being with us this week, and as always, thank you for supporting live theater in the Lubbock, Texas area and beyond.